I'd like to go to my message to you this morning. My scripture reading is in Ruth. We don't go to the book of Ruth that often. But today, we're going to touch upon some thoughts in the book of Ruth. So this is deep in the Old Testament. You're trying to find it. We go to Ruth chapter 4, starting with verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. A neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed holy Sabbath day. We thank you for the ones that are here in your holy place of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the songs that we shared together and those that declare your wondrous name and the wonderful works that you do. We give praise and honor and glory to you for all these things. Bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we will express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. My text is verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Today my message to you is a blessed... Let me retract that. A blessed marriage. I think that all of us want to have a blessed marriage. Whether we thought about it or not, as we became husband and wife, when we did think about it, we all would agree. We want blessings in our life, and we want blessings in our marriage. And the young ones this morning need to give thought to the life of Ruth. It would be a tremendous blessing to you and a tremendous inspiration and instruction to you to read the whole book of Ruth and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the life of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and how God worked within their lives to make their lives the blessing that it was. A blessed marriage. A marriage blessed by God is a happy and fulfilling union between two of God's children. And it leads to the ultimate blessing of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. God does greatly bless all that put their faith and their trust and their dedication in Him. He will sustain and keep you in all aspects of your life. He will be there for you when things are great and success comes your way. And He will be there for you in the most trying and difficult and disappointing days of your life, and perhaps within your family. Today marks my wife and myself 45 years together. 45. Thank you. 45 years ago today, my wife and I married in a little Baptist church in Rowellen, Tennessee. And I'll never forget, I would think that everyone would remember when they first met their spouse to be. But it was around 46 years ago or so. In the fall of the year, one of my friends and I decided we would cruise for girls and whatever happened to come. And so we went to Jackson, Tennessee. And little did I know that as we went to the bowling alley there, they had a all-night special of bowling. And it just so happened to be that was the first time that I met my wife. She was there with her brothers and some friends, a girlfriend, some other friends, at that bowling alley in Jackson. And so my friend and I just happened to decide to go to that bowling alley. And they were there at the time, and I remember looking across and seeing her. And I would say that God surely has blessed me with a wife and a family and not only children and grandchildren. And I know some of you have great-grandchildren. And I know you, as I do, look upon your life as being blessed. Nathaniel and Peggy shortly were married after Carolyn and I. And somehow Peggy always finds it necessary to say that Carolyn and I are to blame for her and Nathaniel becoming married. That's sort of a negative way to look at it, because Peggy and Nathaniel were blessed to find each other. And a bunch of you here sitting in front of me are the result of that blessing of Peggy and Nathaniel. And so I know, and we need to recognize, that God works within His children to give them blessings in all aspects of their life. Happy marriages are not due to the luck of the draw. Happy marriages are not due to skillful manipulation or are they accidents? God makes happy marriages. And He makes happy marriages when believers are brought together. The best marriages and the ones that are blessed by God the greatest are those in which believers in God are brought together by God. Is that saying that one of the best places for our young ladies to find a husband and of course the young men to find their wives would be within churches? Well, sure it would. One of the best places would be. But there are many other places. But God works within our lives. If we are His children, He works in every aspect of our life. And He works to bring around our to-be husband or wife, if we will but let Him. Happy marriages are when two people are drawn together and united by God. And God is working to unite now in many ways. Ways other than marriage. That's one of the mysteries of God. When you read in God's Word and look up the word mystery, you'll find a few places where that word is used. And you will run across some very powerful verses. And the end result of some of them is that God is working within the lives of His children and within the world itself, His creation, to bring us all together within His family. Do you think it's coincidental that God used the word family like He does in the Bible and the word children of His? Do you think it's coincidental that God decided to use the word Son, His only begotten Son, and Him being the Father, in regard to Jesus coming to this earth and performing the plan of God for the ones that would open their hearts and mind to Him? There's no coincidence in the use of family in the Bible. God knows that each one of us can relate to having children, to the love that is shared within a family, and of parents to their children. I'd like to go to Romans. Let's see if we can get up Romans 8 and starting with 14. Verse 14. This is one of the most powerful places in all the Bible. It's one that you should have marked within your Bible because it's so great. And it's many of these, but some are at the top of the list. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. Romans 8 and verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? You are if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you believe in God and have faith in Him and are dedicated to Him, and are holding on to Him, you are a son or daughter of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you part of the family of Almighty God? Yes, you are. When you accept Jesus Christ and you hold on to God the Father and cry out to Him for your needs and praise and honor and give glory to them, yes, you are a child of God. And if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Aren't those wonderful words? That we become literally sons and daughters of God Almighty when we accept Him. We're special. That's why God cares so much for us. He's called us out. We answered the call. We become His children. He cares for every detail of our life. That's why the Scripture lets us know that God even knows the number of the hairs that are on your head. He does care. He is concerned. When believers are brought together, they are brought together by God. They are united in a family. And in the end, we will all be, that open our hearts and lives to Him, we will all be together in the family of God and with God, ultimately, forever. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and start with verse 20. Again, very important scripture. Something that sheds a lot of light that is not talked about a whole lot. But yet is great, great scriptures at the top of the list of scriptures in all the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 and start with 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and after those who are Christ at his coming. Now, verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. This is talking about Jesus Christ, talking about God the Father putting in the power of Jesus Christ to reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And all authority and power is with Jesus Christ until that point that we're speaking of with these verses. Verse 26, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in objection under his feet. He who? God the Father has put all things in subjection under whose feet? Jesus Christ's feet. But when he says, all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted, that's God the Father, is accepted, who put all things in subjection to Jesus Christ. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. Do you see? God is bringing everything ultimately to come together. To come together in love. To come together in unity, in harmony. To come together as one great loving family. Happy marriages are made by God when God's blessings are received by both, husband and wife. Ruth was blessed with a husband. She was needing one because it was hard times in the land. It was famine. She was with her mother-in-law. And she was back in the homeland of her mother-in-law. But times were still hard. And so God blessed Ruth with Boaz, a providing, loving husband, a man who loved her. God bless Ruth. God bless Boaz with a loving wife. And the Word lets us know that Boaz loved Ruth. God bless both Ruth and Boaz with children and a lineage, which means blessings from God continuing on. God makes happy marriages when children are considered a gift from God. There are some in our world today that don't consider children a gift. Doesn't that seem cruel? Children are the ultimate blessing by God to us. Children should be wanted and needed. Children should, the having of children, the getting of children, should never be an option to reject or discard. Great tragedies are going on in our country today. Millions and millions of children to be have been aborted, killed, murdered, never given a chance to come into this world and be a blessing to their parents or anyone else. Such a tragedy. Children are and should be considered a delight, wanted and needed. Never a thought of discarding or rejecting a child. God makes a happy marriage when we instruct our children that He gives us in His ways and in His truths. Train up a child in the way he will go, the way he should go. And when he is older, he or she, they will not depart. God promises that. But we need to do our part as parents and grandparents. We need to teach our children the great truths of God, godly characteristics, godly living, the principles of integrity, of being honest, hardworking, providing for our family. God makes happy marriages when neither great success or great failures are allowed to distract or detour or disunite. God keeps marriages together. He blessed the marriage. He sustains the marriage. He can keep the marriage blessed and holy and united. God makes happy marriages when honoring each other, husband and wife, and recognizing each other as best friends. Loving, also the godly way, an unselfish way. Looking to your spouse in terms of how can I show my love to you more? How can I make your day brighter and better? We come to accept our husband or wife as our best friend. Perhaps the one and only that we can truly confide in every respect of life. Communicating, sharing in times of blessings and troubles, being there at all times and under all situations. We accept each other. We honor each other as best friends. God also makes happy marriages when at old age, blessings still continue. Happiness still abounds, and the union or the unity between husband and wife is still solid in the love of God. Boaz and Ruth were true to God. Looking at the lives of Boaz and Ruth, when you read that book in the Bible, you come to know and realize very clearly that both of these people were upright people. Both of them knew God, knew of His ways. Both of them were true to God. Both of these people were honest people. They wanted to do what was right. They wasn't looking for deception or shortcuts or shortchanging. Being deceitful. They weren't those kind of people. They were compassionate people. They were devoted. They were hardworking. And both of these people, Boaz and Ruth, wanted the blessings of God. Boaz was of the lineage, his ancestors led back to Abraham. Boaz's lineage was of Abraham. Ruth was a Moabite. Moab was that area of the world that is just on the other side of the Dead Sea from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem. Ruth came, even though she was not an Israelite, Ruth came to accept her mother-in-law's God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, even though she was a foreigner in the land. She came to believe in the God that you and I believe in. Even though she was in a land that had many gods, pagan gods, and grew up that way, because of the circumstances that God worked in her life, God was bringing her to the place in her life that she was brought to her future husband, Boaz, through all the circumstances that you will read within that book. Let's go to Ruth 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And you get some other characteristics of what kind of person that Ruth was. She was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth married one of Naomi's son while Naomi was in travel to Moab because of a famine being in the land of Israel or in the neighborhood of Bethlehem. So she went to Moab to escape the famine with her husband and her two sons. And it came about that her husband died while she was there. We're talking about Naomi's husband. And her two sons married two Moabite women. Ruth was one of them. Then the two sons died. And so Naomi was then left with the two daughter-in-laws. No husband, no sons, two daughter-in-laws. And so Ruth 1 and 15. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Naomi has decided, you know, I've heard that things are better back in my hometown of Bethlehem. I'm going to go back there to my home. I've lost my son. I've lost my husband. I want to go home. So she decides to go back to the land where things are now better after the famine. And so her daughter-in-laws are faced with, do I go back with my mother-in-law? Or do I stay here in my own land? And Naomi is in essence encouraging them to just stay around your own family and your own mom and dad. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Isn't that wonderful? Ruth loves Naomi. Ruth sees within Naomi and her life and the way that she led her life things that made her know that's where she wanted to stay. That's where God had for her. That's how God was leading her to go back with Naomi for things that was to come in the future that God had planned. God's blessings was upon their lives. Now what happened to Ruth and Boaz? They had children, and from Ruth and Boaz, their descendants led to King David and on to Jesus Christ. And we are reminded from that family of Boaz and Ruth, the working of God in their lives, led right up to Jesus Christ, who was to be Savior of the world. And if we go back to the time that God first promised Abraham of what would happen in his life if he responded to God, which of course we know he did. In Genesis 12 and 3, God promises Abraham that through Abraham and his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, leading right down to Ruth and Boaz, leading through King David, right on down to Jesus Christ. The blessings of all the nations of the earth. Stand with me in prayer.